Verse 9 says, as we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than he have received, let him be accursed. If you could bow your hearts with me, Father, we just ask for your anointing, Lord, that the soil would be prepared to be good soil, Lord, that the word that will go forth will be your words, Lord, that it will edify, that it will bless, that it will encourage, that it will redirect, that it will lift up, that it will restore, that it will revive, that it will bless. We thank you right now, hallelujah, for your presence and anointing, and we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, the message has not changed. Amen. You may be seated. The message has not changed. Paul, in writing to the Galatians, he made the point. He said, listen, if an angel comes down, even if I come back and preach a different message than what you have first received, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. That's the Greek word meaning accursed. Today we live in a world where everything is changing, where moral values are changing. What was not looked upon favorably 20 years ago, now anything goes. But the message from God has not changed. You know, things that were unacceptable, and you would shock you, those of you who are old enough, today it's just nothing. It's just do whatever you will. But God's word, God's plan, God's purpose does not change. The message cannot change because our God does not change. Amen. Right from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we find this continuing theme. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it says, for I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know what it means, what he's saying? It's a good thing that I'm a merciful God. It's a good thing that my mercy is for everlasting, because that's why you can still be not consumed. That's why we're here today, because of God's mercy. It's a good thing that God does not change his grace. It's a good thing that God does not change his love. It's a good thing that most of all, he does not change his word. The Bible says that we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God. The things that do appear are not made of things that are seen. Everything that you can see is temporal. Everything that you can see is going to disappear one day. But things like God's love, God's grace, his word, the Bible says, heaven and earth may disappear, but my word will never disappear. It's eternal. Hallelujah. I want you to tell you that our message has not changed. This is nothing profound today. This is nothing very deep. Everyone's going to understand this. God's word has not changed. That is the ultimate and absolute measuring stick against our lives and how we are living. His message of love, his message of grace has not changed. I want to tell you seven things about God that has not changed. The first message that has not changed is the salvation message. In John chapter 3, verse 3, he told Nicodemus, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know what God was saying? I'm going to give you a do-over. You ever wanted a do-over? You know, there's times when we look back in our lives, if we had a time machine, we would go back and we can remember some critical decision that we made, and we just wish we had gone the other way. Well, I tell you, in Christ, you can be a new creature. The salvation message is you can be born again. All things are passed away. All things are made new. You can get a do-over. In real life, very rarely can you get a do-over. But in Christ, all things are made new. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That kind of do-over is impossible. But in Christ, you can get a do-over. You can be born again. This month, last month, we had some baptisms. Brother John, right? You got a do-over. You got a do-over. Amen. We can all be born again. That's the salvation message that has not changed. And it is the only way to enter heaven. Jesus said in verse 5, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, the one baptism, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That is the root and foundation of the salvation message. It's not knowing all of biblical prophecy. It's not understanding all mysteries. It's just the simple, you get to do a do-over. You get to be born again. And if you are born of the water and of the Spirit, the Bible says in Ephesians, your soul is sealed. I love that. I get a do-over. I get a do-over. God changes not. And so because of that, if we understand the word, if we will come to him believing, if we will come in simple faith and accept the fact that we can be born again, we can be born again. We can come out as a new creature in Christ. Generational curses are burst, are destroyed. It doesn't matter if my father was a drunk and whatever he was. When I'm born again, I get a do-over. I get adopted. I get adopted into a new family. You know, you may not be related to Bill Gates or Warren Buffett, but if you're born again, you're related to a name that is higher, that is richer, that is more powerful than any of those human people. You get a do-over. The salvation message does not change. I want you to say it with me. The message does not change. One more time like you understand it. The message does not change. You see, when we come to Christ, when we're born again, when we go down in that tank, the Bible said we are baptized with him into death. I'm a new creature. Whatever I did in the past, it's buried with him. Amen. And when I come to church and I hear the word, it washes me. You know, you're going to leave here clean. If you understood that, you'd be shouting. Who shall lay a charge to God's elect? It is God that justifieth. The word cleanses us by the washing of the word. You understand, the salvation message has not changed. It's the one baptism, being born of the water and of the Spirit. We see this symbolized in the Old Testament, that everyone who came out of Egypt, as I've said before, God could have led them round the water. They didn't have to cross over on the Red Sea, but God wanted to establish a principle that to get into Canaan, to get into the Promised Land, everyone who came out of Egypt had to be born again. We see that in 1 Corinthians 10, 2, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, it says, and we're all baptized. You're not going to get into it some other way because the message has not changed. You getting it? Let's say it together. Let's make sure you get it. The message has not changed. Jesus said, if you try and come in any other way, you are a thief and a robber. Because you're going to get used to that phrase before the end of this service. The message has not changed. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Do you understand that symbolizes the cloud being the Spirit, the sea being the water, born of the water and of the Spirit? Because the message, because our God does not change. Hallelujah. Amen. The gospel message, the good news message is that you get a do-over. I don't know about you, but I would like to swap my past for my future. Amen. Amen. Because my future is assured. The Bible says our soul is sealed. Hallelujah. We are justified by his grace because... Amen. You're going to help me preach this today. Shall I tell you one thing that hasn't changed too? It's found in Psalms 14:1. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And there's a lot of them still around that say the same thing. That message hasn't changed either. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They don't understand us coming in here on a Sunday and worshiping and speaking in tongues. But I'm telling you what, God's message has not changed. The salvation message is still strong enough to pull you out of disaster, to pull you out of despair, to pull you out of anxiety, because his message has not changed. The second message of the seven messages that have not changed is the message of repentance. This is a journey. When we start our Christian journey, the first part of the message that has not changed is that we must repent. It started with John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist preached it. Jesus preached it. In Matthew 4, 17, from the time Jesus began to preach, to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you know we're supposed to preach it? In Luke 24, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You know why? Come on, you got to say it with me. You got it now. John the Baptist had it. Jesus had it. We're supposed to have it. We are going to preach the message of repentance, godly sorrow for our sins. When we turn to Christ with true repentance, then his message will not change. He will welcome us. Grace will be extended to us. Blessings will be given to us. Doors will be opened to us because his message has not changed. The third message that has not changed is the fact that through godly sorrow, in 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. When we come to Christ, we don't have to regret that. That's not something you're losing. You're actually gaining. That's what the scripture is saying. You understand that repentance brings us to submission to God. Repentance is an act of humility. We humble ourselves. It's when we acknowledge that we're going wrong. It's when we are enabled to receive forgiveness. It's a message that we're going to turn around. It's a message the Bible says has not changed. John the Baptist preached it. Jesus preached it. We need to receive it. Amen? Because the message... Amen, amen. This is not a political rally, but I want you to preach it with me. Amen. The message has not changed. You will remember this week. You'll be waking up saying it. The message has not changed. This is one message that when they ask you, what did he preach? You'll say, the message has not changed. Amen. The third message that has not changed is God's grace. Undeserved favor, undeserved mercy. That message also has not changed. We see it right from the beginning of man's fall. When Adam and Eve were hiding from God, and God made coats of skins to cover them because his mercy and his grace is part of his attributes, that message cannot change. It's the whole reason that we are here today. God covered their nakedness. God has covered my nakedness. God will cover your nakedness. Because his message of grace, undeserved favor, his message of love, undeserved favor and grace has not changed. In fact, from Adam to the cross, one of the shortest prayers you will find in the Bible, the thief on the cross says, remember me when thou comest into thy... What a short prayer. That's all it took for God's grace to be extended. Jesus said, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. You know why? Because his grace, his love, that message that God so loved the world that he gave, that message has not changed. It's the foundation that we can be here today. You see, here's a revelation. Okay? Get ready to get a revelation. It's grace that helps us escape judgment. Now, for some that you'd be saying, oh, well, that's obvious. Okay, well, think it over. Think it over. Remember now, Cain murdered someone. He, by all rights, deserved death. But guess what happened? God extended someone like Cain grace and put a mark on him to escape. Grace helps us escape judgment. In Genesis, didn't it say that Noah found grace? What did it help him to do? Escape judgment. God's grace helps us to escape what we deserve, which is his judgment. That's what grace is. That's the third message that does not change. And I'm so glad for that one. I am so glad for God's grace that does not change, his love that reaches down and pulls me out when I'm in my mess. I can't imagine God's love that even though Cain killed his brother, God gave him a mark to escape judgment. Now, he didn't escape everything. Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace, it's God's sovereign choice. The fact you're here today, it's not of your choice. You may have thought so, but Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. You may not have known it, but God has been speaking to you. Even though it was windy and you got no sleep last night, he told you, come to church. There'll be worship. There'll be a word. There'll be some encouragement. You'll hear a message that has not changed. 1 Timothy 1:9 says, for who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to my works, not according to my mess, not according to my failings, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. See, grace does not depend upon your gifting. The message of grace is based solely on God's love and his mercy. Amen. The fourth message that has not changed is holiness. The message of grace and forgiveness is not an excuse to keep sinning. It's not an excuse to take advantage of God's love. Romans 6:1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that God's grace and mercy shall abound? You know, when someone loves you, you have the opportunity to hurt them. When God has given us grace and mercy, we have the opportunity to hurt him. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you are sealed. When you have, God has been so merciful to you, your response, as the song said, should be love, should be obedience. We should come running to that throne of grace. Paul in Romans 6:2 says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Because you guys got too silent on me. Come on again. I know you're going to preach this one with me today. Amen. The message of holiness is not a message that has changed either. Just because God is gracious, just because he is loving, that doesn't mean we live any way we like. In fact, holiness is the fruit of love. Because when we love someone, we try and please them. Right? We do things we wouldn't want to do. When my wife says to me at 12:30, could you go downstairs and get me some water? Now my flesh would not get up for me. That's for sure. If it was me that wanted that water, I would go to bed dry. But love compels me. And the love she has shown me and the things she has done for me, because she has done that all the time. See, when you love God, the fruit of it will be righteousness. You will want to please him. He says his yoke is easy. When you love someone, nothing is too hard. You'll spend money you would never spend, right? You'll do things you'd never do. You see, what we need to do is actually fall in love with God. That message has not changed. Because when you love God, serving him is easy. You just want to please him. You want to be at church. You want to be worshiping. You're asking, Lord, what can I do for you? Not what he can do for you. What can you do for him? The message of holiness is not hard, but it is something that we need to understand. That has not changed either. God wants us to walk worthy of the calling. He wants to be proud of us. He wants to be able to say, like he said about Job, hast thou considered my... He wants to boast to the devil about you. He wants to tell Satan, you don't understand my child. She loves me. He loves me. I can boast about them. No matter what you do to them, their love is so strong. Their desire to serve me is so strong. They're going to put you to shame, Satan. See, the message has not changed. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Hallelujah. Holy living is the fruit of just loving God. If you don't love God, it's going to be hard to live for him. It's like work, you know, if you hate your work, it's so hard. If you love your work, it's not like work. It's easy. 2 John 1:6 says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as he have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. When you truly love God, you want to please him. When I think about, really, honestly, when I think about the things God has done for me, I feel so insufficient. My puny little actions are so small, but you know, I'm looking. Lord, can I please you somewhere? I'd love to please you. I'll tell you the way I please God most of all, I think, the things that are easier, is just to have mercy upon my fellow man. You know why? It's selfish, because I want mercy. That message has not changed. Holiness allows us to draw close to God. You want to draw close to God? Put on the garment. The high priest, before he could come to the ark, had to change his garment. He had to put on a white linen vestment. He had to wash. He had to make himself presentable. You think he was going to walk in there and get struck down? Oh, no. This is the living God he was appearing before. The message has not changed. Keeping the gift of the garment of righteousness clean. You know, most of you women, when you buy a new dress and it's, you know, light colored, you're always checking it. And if it has the slightest little, you know, men can't see it. Well, I don't see that. Yeah, can't you see that? We take such care about little things. Imagine if we were doing that about our spiritual life. The Bible says the Bible is a glass. It's a mirror. We should look in and make sure our garment is spotless, because he's coming back for a bride whose garment is spotless. Amen. Hebrews 12:14 tells us this. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. You see, we can't make ourselves holy, but it comes as a fruit, as a reaction to just loving God. To just loving God. It's not a matter of me dressing a certain way. That doesn't make me holy. No, that's not what makes me holy, right? But dressing a certain way is a fruit of trying to please God, right? We can't follow every fad and fashion, right? As I showed you that picture that I had photoshopped with me with blue hair and a bone and a... Now, that's not sin, but you're not going to listen to me if I came up here like that with the bling and the chains. You'll be going. The message of holiness has not changed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. If you want to draw near to God, start to love him. And the fruit of that will be a change in your holiness. Amen. The fifth message, and probably the greatest message, is that God is still love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God commendeth, or proves his love towards us, in that while we were yet a mess, while we were yet sinners, while we didn't even know him, while we didn't care a thing about him, he died. Now, it's hard for us to imagine and personalize this, because, at least for me, I think, well, God, there's 7 billion other human beings. You talking to me? Is it me you're talking to? Is God big enough to be speaking to just you when he says, I love you? You know, those of you who have siblings, you always think that the love is always shared and you didn't get enough. But here's what God says about that. He knows the very number of hairs that are on your head. That's how much he cares for just you. He makes every snowflake different. Of the billions of snowflakes, he's made every one of them unique. Scientists have found that no two snowflakes are the same. Our fingerprints, even identical twins, are different. You are unique. There is not another you. You know what that means? You're valuable. That message has not changed. For God so loved the world that he gave. As I've said, love is an action. You can say it, but until you demonstrate it, it's something else. We are commanded to love. You may say, well, how can I love God who I can't see? Well, you can start by loving the person you can see. Right? You can love the person who maybe you don't really want to be too close to and see them as God sees them. You know how I do it? I'll tell you my secret. I see them as when they were born. Now, who hates babies? Who hates babies? I've not seen a baby I hate. Now, that baby may turn out to be a monster, but while he's a baby, So what I look at people and I look at them as I try and see them through what God would see them as an innocent child that somehow life has twisted and Satan has warped. But they were not born that way. Jesus looked and he wept. He said he would that none be lost. So even your worst enemies, would you want them to eternally be damned? No, no. Jesus wants us to love our brothers and sisters. That's how he said you will know that you're my disciple. That message has not changed. I've experienced God's love and mercy, and we are commanded to share that love. It's not an option. We're commanded to share that love. Amen. Just to show you how it works, there was a young rich ruler that came to Jesus. And he was, by the world standard, a good person, did all the right things. But there was one thing he lacked and one thing he still held on to. And Jesus looked at him and said, go sell all you have and come follow me. And it was just too much for him. There was one thing he would put before God. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, the thing that really astonishes me, it says, then Jesus beholding him. Jesus looked at him. Jesus was seeing him as a man who could have been someone we know. We never know his name. We never know what great apostle he could have been. You know, he could have been someone that turned out to be, and he came this close. And it says Jesus looked at him. Jesus was probably looking through his life, looking at when he was born, looking at his family situation, and the things he had been through in life. And the Bible says Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him. But Jesus' love is not enough. I've preached that before. Unless you're willing to reciprocate. Just because Jesus loves you, as great as God's love is, it's not forced. It has to be held on to. It has to be reciprocated. That message has not changed. Amen. The sixth message is that we're commanded to witness. Mark 16:15, he said unto him, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It's a good thing it said every creature, because I know a little child who was practicing. They come to church, see the preacher, so he started preaching to the cat. Every creature. Every creature. Amen. Go into all. That message has not changed. Have we carried out that message this week? Can you honestly say you went up to someone and said, can I pray for you? Do you know Christ? It's as simple as that. You may say, well, I feel funny going up to people and it's embarrassing and they'll think I'm a nut. So what? Jesus said, if you're ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of you. But if you will be proud of him, he's going to call your name before the Father and before the angels. Your name can't be called in any higher sphere. Now, I was on television once. I really didn't want to because I didn't want anyone to see me, but I was on television. But you know, that doesn't mean nothing. Nobody may know your name, but guess what's going to happen? In heaven, your name is going to be called and paraded. That message has not changed, but it is upon us down here to call his name. To call his name. I'm a Jesus believer. Are you willing to call that message before someone? Amen. Amen. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That message has not changed. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That message has not changed. See, we have to believe it though. See, there's so many messages that haven't changed, but we don't really use them. Then we complain and ask God why stuff don't work. It's because we have not been using the message that has not changed. Acts 1:8, he says that we shall receive power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon us, we should be fearless. Amen? We should be fearless. You understand that witness in the Greek means martyr. Comes from the word martyrs. You understand that when you do that, you are going to get some opposition. People are going to think you're crazy. But that message has not changed. He said about his faithful martyr unto death, witness unto death. Witness. There's going to have to become a time when your salvation is tested. It's going to cost you something. Maybe it'll cost you some friends. Maybe it'll cost you some family. Maybe it'll cost you your job. Maybe even prison one day. Shall I tell you what it cost the apostles? Their lives. Acts 4:18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. See, the devil's message too has not changed. Amen. If you could stand with me. Amen. I tried to be quick. I tried to be short. So I have a question for you today. Is your witness costing you anything? Because the very word witness means martyr. So is your witness costing you anything? Need to answer that to yourself. Because the message to witness has not changed. The last message, the seventh message I'm going to talk about that has not changed. This is they're all my favorite. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. And this is after his crucifixion, the last time they bodily saw him. And they saw him ascend up into heaven. And then two angels appeared, and they were just looking there, standing up like this. I don't know what they were waiting for. He had told them what to do. Go and be witnesses. But they were just standing there looking like this. Finally, the angel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why standing here gawking?" I know it says gazing, but that's what it means. You know, sometimes the devil has just caught us just standing there gawking, waiting on God to do something. And we're just looking up like this. But the message of his return has not changed. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in the same way. Not just as a spirit cloud, as the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. Not as the paraclete, as they teach. But bodily, the same Jesus, in the same manner. His feet are going to come down on the same spot on the Mount of Olives. That message will never change. Shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. This is the hope that I have. 2 Peter 3:3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, our time, our era, scoffers, mockers, walking in their own lusts and saying, hey, the message has changed. Where is the promise of his coming? For since my grandfather fell asleep, he's been telling me he's coming. And hasn't happened yet. Peter says, for this they are willingly ignorant. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water. He's saying, the people back then were also ignorant. They said, we've heard your message, Noah, that there's going to be a flood. But that's not going to happen. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire. Not water this time, fire. Against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. See, the message of his coming is my hope. There are hundreds of scriptures that foretell his coming. I'm just going to give you two before we close. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Here's a message that's not going to change. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then it goes on to say, then we that are alive and remain. I preached the message about that, remember? Remain. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. The message does not change. Last scripture, then we're going to close. I love this scripture, Malachi 3:1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way. Now, when his first coming, that was John the Baptist. For his second coming, that's you and me. You understand that? And then the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger whose message will never change, the messenger of the covenant whom he delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. We're closing this service, but I hope this is one message you remember. The message has not changed. He's coming again. He's coming again. Hallelujah. These altars are open. We're going to pray for whoever wants prayer. Because here's another message that hasn't changed. Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil. And if they have committed any sin, God will forgive them. If they are sick, they will be healed. They shall recover. That message too has not changed. And I want to stand on God's word today. And I want to be his angel or his agent to pronounce that message. Amen. We're going to close this service. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, before I pray, I'd like all the church to pray. If you could raise your hand as an act of submission and ask God to let these messages be fulfilled in your life. Father, we just thank you today, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. For the fact that you do not change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you have declared your word that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word, your message will never pass away till all be fulfilled. Lord, we ask right now as a church, Lord God, that your anointing, that your word be manifested upon each and every one who is here today. Lord, as I go down to lay hands, Lord, let your word and your message that never changes inspire faith, Lord God, that everyone on whom I lay my hand, Lord, there will be a response, there will be a healing, there will be a deliverance, there will be a restoration, there will be a revival, there will be a deliverance. Hallelujah.